dental clinic. It's a free dental clinic for the poor. And our first patient arrived to wait in line at 1 a.m. The clinic opens up at 7:30. But she said, I wanted to make sure that I got in. And we are very blessed by this ministry. It is changing and transforming lives, as you and your prayers help us so much. So this morning, our passage is coming from the Gospel of Matthew. This is traditionally a passage that is read the second Sunday in Lent, but normally not in this liturgical year, but I like to shake things up a little bit. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, quiet our minds and our hearts to hear clearly your word. May it be a healing balm. May it open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to new wonders on how we may live out this day in your word and in our world. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last year, after the passing of former First Lady Barbara Bush, many in our nation offered their remembrances of that fine lady. One such remembrance was written by Frances Coleman, who wrote, "If you are wondering why people from one side of the country to the other are saddened by the death of former First Lady Barbara Bush, the answer is simple. Mrs. Bush was what we all wish our mothers had been or could be: strong, firm, loving, nurturing, supportive. You know, that kind of mother, whether she was or is or in your life or exists only in your imagination. She's the mother who always has your back, who expects you to do the right thing, and who'll be there no matter how far you stray from her ideals or how badly you screw up your life. If you're elected president of the United States, she will hold the Bible as you take the oath of office. If you find a cure for cancer, she'll be in the audience when you accept the Nobel Prize. And if you murder someone or embezzle $1 million from a pension fund, she will visit you regularly in prison." She was the type of woman, as they used to say in the old Hollywood westerns, who had grit. Polished and poised with her fluffy white hair and string of pearls, but tough as nails. True grit. Perhaps she was the type of woman that we see so often in our Bible passages. Maybe like the wise woman of Proverbs 31, who is remembered as one who wears strength and dignity as her clothing, who speaks words of wisdom and teaches kindness, who does not eat the bread of idleness, or of Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who wept beneath the cross and yet was one of the first to proclaim his glory. The Bible is filled with these stories of pious and determined women. But Scripture also provides us with other stories of determined women, faithful women who fear God and who, on just appearance alone, might not fit our image of all. There's Ruth, a foreigner, outside the promises of the chosen people, who faithfully abandons her homeland to follow her mother-in-law and an uncertain future. Or Rahab, a Canaanite woman, a prostitute, who hid the spies from Israel, from the people of Jericho, and was one of the ancestors of Jesus. But perhaps the most interesting story of all is Jesus' encounter with this Canaanite woman in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus' silence to the woman is almost as deafening as his initial rebuke. I love this story. I love this story, and yet I struggle each time I read it, and even more so when I preach from it. So indulge me for just a moment to give you a little bit of the backstory, or what I call the heart of the matter of Jesus' encounter with this woman. This is part of a much larger passage. It's on a very much larger passage and a teaching to the disciples of what is pure and what is not, what is clean and what is unclean. It's not what we eat, as the Pharisees taught, but what comes from our heart. That's what counts, what the words we speak, our actions. Or as the psalmist wrote, "Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." We are told that this woman in our story is a Canaanite. That is a very ancient term that was not customarily used in Jesus' day, but it was a very important word because the Canaanites, the people of Canaan, were arch enemies of the people of Israel. So we learn that this woman was called a Canaanite, an archaic name known to be an enemy of the people. And she came from a culture that worshipped many gods, that had shrine prostitutes in their temples, considered a heathen, very, very unclean, and who on any given day would not be what we would call or think of as our go-to-Sunday, white fluffy hair and string of pearls type of parishioner. So Jesus' silence and his initial words of rebuke to this woman may not have been out of place at all. And the woman knew it. She knew it. She knew exactly where she came from. And she knew exactly who she was going to see. Martin Luther, in preaching on this passage, noted how painful it must have been for her. How painful it must have been for her to strip herself of all of her pride, her identity, her culture, and to cling alone to God's bare word. "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs may eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Her name is Matilde. She came to our mission 4 years ago. You know, there's a light in each of us, a little ember that I call hope, that we can see reflected in our hearts and in our personalities. When Matilde first came with her mission, she was a single mom with five children. Another church had found her a place to live. But it was summertime when we aren't growing. And so Matilde had no means to work and pay for this place that she had found. And she was perhaps the saddest person I've ever met in my life. Whatever flicker or ember of hope had all but extinguished. But we stood beside her and we worked with her. Javier, who was such an important part of our ministry, worked with the landlord and said, "Listen, if we help fix up your home, can she stay here until she can find work?" And the landlord agreed for a little while. And eventually, she became a part of our church. Her children became a part of our youth group. That winter, when it was cold and there was no heat in the mobile home, another church member came and found out what kind of space heater would be good to heat that little home, making sure that it was safe for the little 14-month-old baby. And she became part of our family. And slowly over these last few years, we've seen that ember of hope begin to shine again in her heart. She found a job she could walk to because they have no transportation. But last spring, she wasn't feeling too well. And she went to the medical clinic down in Waimama, and they rushed her to the hospital because it seems that she had been born with a congenital birth defect, a heart defect. And so she had to have open heart surgery. And now this single mother of five, the only breadwinner in her home, was recuperating. And so her 16-year-old daughter took her place in the packing house to help make ends meet. And then the landlord said, "You know, I'm sorry, you're going to have to find another place to live." And slowly you started to see that light waver again in her eyes. Last winter, I asked her, I said, "What do you dream for?" And she said, "For my children not to be like me." And that really tore at my heart. She goes, "I want them to have a better life. I want them to have a career." And then she said something. She goes, "I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person. I never went beyond the fourth grade. I just want to do the best for my family. And with God's help, I will." We may never know if the woman seeking Jesus' mercy thought she was worthy of salvation. But we can rest assured that the woman was certain her daughter did. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." The words of King David from Psalm 51, written centuries before this encounter of Jesus with the woman from Canaanite. Now, maybe many of you here can't identify with Matilde's story, the woman from our mission, but I think each of us understands or has witnessed that time when God appears very silent, or perhaps when we feel our own personal burden of judgment upon ourselves. And as I have grown older, and maybe you feel this way too, I am convinced that I see more and more the complexities of our life, which makes me appreciate Scripture all the more because it isn't cut and dry. There are so many different nuances. And whoever said that growing old isn't for sissies really knew what they were talking about. It takes a lot of determination, or what I like to call faith, to trust in the promises of God through all these many wanderings, when maybe all we can do is gather enough faith, the same amount as a mustard seed. And Jesus will say, that's good enough. Or maybe it's when we feel ourselves sinking deeper and deeper that Jesus promises to meet us on the waters. And when we hunger for Jesus himself to provide the bread. Through the waters of our baptism, through the bread we break and the cup we drink, we are the body of Christ. We are in this together. We are in this together to the family that just lost their beloved and the child awaiting surgery. We are in this together. A few years ago, I was walking around St. Armand's Circle, and I'll be honest, I can be impatient. Anyone who knows me knows that. And I was walking pretty fast, and there was this couple right in front of me, and they were walking really slow. But it was kind of sweet because I noticed they were walking arm in arm. So I'm kind of like, okay. And here they are. But as I got closer, I noticed that it wasn't so much that they were walking arm in arm as they were leaning into each other to keep each other upright from falling down. We are in this together. We may move slowly, but we are in this together. Barbara Bush, with her fluffy white hair and string of pearls, once said, cherish your human connections, your relationships with friends and family. To us, she said, family means putting your arms around each other and being there. Mrs. Bush went on to say, I married the first man I ever kissed, and when I tell that to my children, they just about throw up. Believe in something larger than yourself. Giving frees us from the familiar territory of our own needs by opening our mind to unexplained worlds occupied by the needs of others. Believe that God loves you. Trust that Christ prays for you. Know that there is no place where God and Christ won't meet you. Through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are in this together. Amen.